Mike Hyka from the Dallas Morning News joined. The Stars make a signing today, and there's one everybody's waiting on. Mike, I guess let's start with Cody Eakins. You know, no surprise that they get a deal done. Usually these RFA guys, eventually they give in because it's not worth it to hold out. Where do you see Eakins fitting in this lineup? Or Eakins, sorry.
He was spectacular last season. I think he'll be great again. He's only 23. He's on the uptick. The biggest adjustment for him will be the fact that he kind of got a lot of second line minutes and some significant power play time last year. And now with Jason Spezza in the group, that'll probably go away. Eakin had 17 minutes a game last year and ended up with 35 points, 16 goals. So his offensive numbers have a chance to go down. But the plan, I believe, is to play him with Roussel and Garbutt again. And if that's the case, then that could actually end up being one of the best third lines in the league. I mean, three guys who have, Roussel had 14 goals, Eakin had 16, and Garbutt had 17 or 18. So if that group, you know, just plays like it can play, even if it, you know, is down a minute or two or doesn't get any power play time it had, I do believe it could be one of the best third lines in the league.
Well, there's more than just scoring, though, on that line. They bring an element of just complete irritation, do they not?
Yeah, and speed. I mean, we had the old man checking line back in the day with Carboneau and Keane and Skruglund and Kirk Muller and all those guys. And those guys, you know, did it with brains. This line does it with speed, a heavy forecheck, a lot of irritation, like you said. So, the other thing that's interesting is I believe their strategy is if they have the puck and they're in the offensive zone and they're going out against the other team's best players, then that's a heck of a checking line. So they can do it both ways. They can, you know, they can hit you pretty hard, and then they can also possess the puck. So we'll see.
Mike Hyka joins us. Mike, Nikushkin or Hemsky, who do you think is going to play with Sagan and Ben?
They're still working that out. Tonight they're going to play Nikushkin with Sagan and Ben, and Hemsky with Spezza and Eric Cole. And this is kind of like a dress rehearsal lineup for them. They're going to go pretty, at least the top three lines are pretty close to what they're going to have. So that will be interesting to watch. Lindy Ruff, because they had this weird preseason schedule where they basically play six games and nine nights. And so it's been really hard for him to get any kind of consistency in a preseason lineup. So this will be the first time we really get a look at what he's thinking, one, with those top two lines, and two, what he's thinking with the top two power plays. So we're waiting for tonight and seeing what's happening.
Mike, interesting they put Hemsky and Cole on a line together. Here in Edmonton, they had those two guys together. They both like playing their right side. Who's going to play the right side between Hemsky and Cole?
Everything we've heard is Hemsky will play the right side no matter what, and everybody else will have to adjust because the Stars have a lot of guys who like to play the right side. Nichushkin likes to play the right side, too. Colton Sevior, who had, I think, 32 goals in the AHL last year, is a right-handed right wing. So they have five forwards, basically, you know, for the top six, and Ben, Sagan, Nichushkin, Spezza, and Hemsky, and then one spot open, which appears to be the left wing,
sure,
Spezza's line. But now you start juggling and saying, well, what if you put Sevior up on the right wing on Ben's line, and then you put Nichushkin on the left wing on Spezza's line? So there's a lot of juggling that's going on. But honestly, everybody wants to play the right side, and somebody like Cole or Nichushkin or Spezza, or Sevior will have to play the left wing, and that's just the way it goes.
Mike, looking at the players, and obviously you know the guys from there last year, and you've seen Alex Hemsky for a decade play in Edmonton. Who do you think is best suited with Sagan and Ben?
Well, that's a really good question. Everything we've heard about Hemsky is he is a playmaking winger. And then you look at both Ben and Sagan, and they are goal scorers in their position. I mean, Tyler Sagan is a goal-scoring center. It's just kind of the way he plays the game. So on paper, I think Hemsky fits best with Sagan and Ben setting those guys up. On the other side of the coin, Val Nichushkin plays a very fast game, pretty powerful game, pretty straightforward game. And so if you're looking for just energy and push and drive towards the net, then maybe Nichushkin's a guy. And what I honestly think will happen is it'll go back and forth as the season goes on, and they'll play, you know, they'll play Ben and Sagan together, and then there'll be a bunch of guys rotating in there.
Looking at it from the outside in, the D looks like the weakest part of this team. Do you feel the same thing looking at it every day?
Yes and no. On paper, yes. They're not that big. They are all left-handed. That's the one that just kills them. John Klingberg and Julius Honka are their only two right-handed defensemen. I don't think either of them are ready for the NHL. So you're going to have seven left-handed defensemen, and that is a challenge. The other thing is that, you know, you look and say they don't really have a number one. Alex Goligoski might be. He plays the minutes, but he's, you know, on paper he's not a number one defenseman. All that is very negative. On the positive side, the last 30 games last year, and even in the six-game playoff, Goligoski and Daly were fantastic, and the defense as a whole was really pretty good. And the concept is they can all move the puck, they can all skate, and if they can do that, then they are hoping they will be playing in the offensive end of the ice. If they can do that, then all of a sudden now they're not a bad defense. If they get trapped, you know, cycling in their own end, and it's, you know, Alex Goligoski and Trevor Daly against the other team's top line, then they are outmatched. So it's, you know, it's all about the concept of can they play the game the way they want to play it. And it's going to be difficult, I will say that, with, you know, all left-handed and all skilled. But, you know, they did it for 36 games last year and looked pretty good.
Brendan Dillon then factors in, right? The biggest of their defensemen. He's a guy who does have the strength and size to take on the other team's top guys. Where's the negotiations at?
They're talking. You know, it's just like with Eakin. I think they're close. But it comes down to the fact that Brendan Dillon is an RFA with no arbitration rights, and the Stars don't really want to move much. I mean, they don't. And if you look at the contracts that are coming in for those players, basically the players are the ones giving, and the teams are pretty much holding strong. And so, you know, that's where they are. I think the Stars are, you know, they might be giving very small, you know, pushes towards what they think Brendan Dillon deserves. And you know, Cody Eakin took that money. Obviously, Smith and Krug took the money. Jaden Schwartz took the money. And in my opinion, at some point in time, Brendan Dillon's going to look at it and say, this isn't worth it. I'm just going to take the money and try and earn a bigger contract next time. But they're not there yet. And I don't think it's going to get done today. And I'm not even sure, you know, if it's close enough that it could get done tomorrow. We'll just have to wait.
What about the big D man, Jamie Elysiak? How's he looked?
He's looked really good. It's funny going to the point of Brendan Dillon might not be here. The two guys they have in line to replace him are bigger, stronger guys. So, you know, they go against the grain of this small, quick defense in that Jamie Oleksiak and Patrick Nemeth are both pretty big guys. Now, Oleksiak's not really physical, but he defends really well. He uses his stick and his length very well. And he would fit in as a guy who could step in to Brendan Dillon's place and play a similar type of game. But again, you know, until you do it at the NHL level, nobody really knows.
Mike Kaika joins us, beat reporter for the Dallas Stars from the Dallas Morning News. Mike, the Stars last year, of course, 91 points, which had them in eighth place. And a lot of people think they're improved. You had Hemsky and Spezza. You know, Dallas is a team in that central division. Could they challenge, Colorado, who a lot of people think might come back a little bit? Like, is third place realistic, or do you think Dallas might even be able to keep pace with Chicago and St. Louis?
I don't think Chicago and St. Louis, not yet, not until they get the defense fixed. But I do think they have made tremendous strides, you know, on paper, one. And two, Jim Nero, Lindy Ruff, Tyler Seguin, you know, all these guys were new to the organization last year. And, you know, as I talk about the last 30 games, that was a team that they're hoping they bring out from, you know, the opening game here. And last year they were kind of all over the map trying to figure out what do they want to be. You know, does Jim Nill really know what Lindy Ruff wants to do? Does Lindy Ruff know what his personnel is? So when you look at all that, I do think they're going to be greatly improved, because I do think they'll hit the ground running. And that's a big advantage over last season. The second thing is, they had a great group of kids who are coming up from the Texas Stars, who won the AHL championship last year. So if they do suffer injuries, or if they do have whatever issues there are, they have great depth. You know, if they have to replace two or three players, which they did last year when both Robidon and Daly went down, they really shouldn't miss a step when they do that. So those two things are much better than they were last year. So I do think they can be improved. That being said, I just think St. Louis is a great regular season team, and I think this is Chicago's year. I mean, when you look at what they're going to have to do to adjust to the contract raises for Kane and Taves next season, this is a year I think they have to target and say, we really need to make a push to win it all this year. So I think Chicago's going to be just engaged the whole season. I think St. Louis is a great regular season team. I think the Stars are right in the mix with Colorado and Minnesota.
Sean Horkoff led the Stars in playoff scoring last year with 6 points in six games. Is he their fourth line center right now?
No, because of Eakin coming back, he'll be on the wing, and Vern Fiddler will be the fourth line center. But that fourth line last year of Horkoff, Fiddler, and Colton Sevior was really good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so you bring that group back and add Patrick Eves has been very good in the preseason, and you have some, you know, you have. It's going to be hard for Lindy Ruff to get everybody the minutes they want. Like I said, I mean, Eakin really could come down from 17 to 14 or something like that, because I believe Vern Fiddler and Sean Horkoff will, you know, definitely want to be pushing 12 or 13 minutes on the fourth line as well. So I think Horkoff's a great option. And again, we go back up to that left wing on the second line and say, okay, here's a guy who actually played left wing for most of the year. And if Eric Cole doesn't work out, and if Sevier doesn't work out, and if, you know, Brett Ritchie, who's also right hand, you know, doesn't work out, then Sean Horkoff could end up there on that left wing with Spezza and Hemsky. So we'll see. He's a great piece to have, I'll say that.
Mike, I appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the end of a jam-packed preseason. We'll talk to you when the regular season starts.
They have one of the weirdest things. They play back-to-back preseasons, then they have like 8 days off before the regular season starts. So what are you going to do?
That is weird. Appreciate your time, Mike.
All right, talk to you soon.